I appreciate
what Brother Lowe shared with us today, and I too want to express my gratitude to all of those who serve this great country of ours and those who are serving. And I thank God for the freedoms that we have had. There are places in the world yet today where it's much different than what it is here. And I thank God for really for the surroundings that I've been allowed to grow up in and live in. Freedom always comes with a price. Our natural freedom came that way. Our spiritual freedom came with a great price. And I'm thankful that the Lord paid the price. I want to share some scripture with you from the book of Jude. If you want to turn to Jude, to the first chapter, the first and only chapter of Jude, I want to read just a short, very familiar scripture reading before you this morning, beginning with the first verse of Jude. Remember me today in your prayers. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And those three verses, the first three verses of Jude, will conclude my scripture reading today. The thought on my heart this morning is the common salvation. I want you to consider that with me here for a little while today, and that'll be the title of my message this morning, The Common Salvation. Now, in the English translation of the Bible, the word common, as it is with several different words, has different meanings, different times depending upon how they were used and how they were to be applied. In our day, in our use of the English language, to us, common is often something ordinary or something plain. I may compliment you and say, well, that's a very nice car you have or lawnmower you have or something. You may say, well, it's just a common, ordinary mower. That's the way a lot of times that we use the word common. When Jude wrote here of the common salvation, that's not how he intended it to be understood. He certainly wasn't talking about something ordinary. He was talking about something very extraordinary. There's nothing like the Lord's salvation. Nothing in this world ever quite compares to being saved. But what he was making reference to was something that is that people have in common. That there is a salvation that we can have in common one with another. He was making reference, I believe, to a kindred spirit. And there is a kindred spirit that exists among the true people of God. There is something that binds our hearts together. There's something that we understand about each other and something that we have in common with each other and something that allows us to be able to properly relate one to another. And that is God's gift of salvation. And I have told the church before that those, and you know as well as I do, that there are many different systems of belief that exist in the world today. The Bible teaches me very plainly that if you're going to be saved, you're going to have to be born again. Jesus himself taught us that. He said, you must. That is, it is absolutely imperative. It is of necessity. In order to be eternally saved, you must be born again. Now, that's what happened to me. That's what I was speaking about this morning that happened 35 years ago. I was born again by the Spirit of God. Born of the Spirit, born from above. Not born again of the flesh the way that Nicodemus supposed it would be, but born of the Spirit of God. Having had a personal spiritual relationship with the Lord. And that was what Jude, I believe, was writing about when he wrote about the common salvation. And so, as I said a moment ago, there have been and there are many different things that many different people believe about making it to heaven when this life is over. And really, isn't that essentially what any type of religion ought to be about? About eternal things rather than just things that exist and dwell in time? This is something that has been understood. The common salvation was understood in the days that the scriptures were written, in the days that these things that I have read to you about were written. The common salvation was understood then, and there have been those that have maintained it and understood it down through the years of time and still do today. Jude understood that there was a true salvation, that there was a way of salvation that was right, and that those that experienced that would have that in common, would have that kindred spirit. The Apostle Peter understood it. If you read 2 Peter, he opened that epistle by saying that he was writing to those that had obtained like precious faith with us. He was addressing in that epistle those that had experienced the same thing that he had experienced, the common salvation. Now, those that believe that you can work your way into heaven, first of all, the Bible teaches me that you can't. There's nothing that you can do that will ever be good enough to make it to heaven. The Apostle Paul addressed that in many places in his writings. I believe one of the most descriptive is found in his writing to Titus, in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, where Paul said that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. In his writing to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul said that it is by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. He goes on and says, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And so those that believe that they can work their way into the favor of God, I can't relate to that. I can't relate to it. I don't understand it. My spirit doesn't lock up with that. Those that believe that they are justified by God through the waters of baptism. The Bible clearly teaches me that the salvation of the soul is not the purpose of water baptism. Or water baptism perhaps is not for the purpose of bringing about the salvation of the soul, I suppose, is a better way to state it. That's not what it was about. It was an ordinance that the Lord gave to his church to be observed by those that had already been saved. And believers' baptism is plainly taught to us in the scriptures. And so those whose faith rests in their baptism taking them to heaven, I'm not able to relate to that. My spirit doesn't lock up with that. But those that testify of a personal, real experience, spiritual experience between them and God, I can understand because I've experienced it. That I know about, that we have in common, that is like precious faith that we have obtained. I thank God today for my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I do. I'm thankful that I have been saved by God's grace. I told you a moment ago that that is what I am most thankful for in this life, that I have been saved by God's grace. But I am thankful that there are those that have obtained the same thing that I have. I'm thankful for those that when I relate my experience of salvation, that there are those that have a kindred to that. There are those that have something in common with that. Those that can relate to what I am saying. And I thank God that we have this common salvation. It is the very foundation of fellowship. This common salvation that Jude wrote about, that he exhorted them to contend for, the faith that was once delivered to the saints, is the very foundation of all Christian fellowship. Without it, there cannot be any true fellowship. Jesus taught that. If you look in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples a question. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered him and they said, well, there are some that say that you are Elijah. There's some that say that you are John the Baptist. There's some that say that you are one of the prophets. In other words, Master, there are all different types of opinions about who you are. There's people that are saying all different things about who you are. And then he asked them specifically, well, who do you say that I am? And from that point on, it became a one-on-one conversation between Jesus and Simon Peter. And Peter answered him and he said, well, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. That's who you are. And Jesus responded to that by saying, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. I want you to know something today. If you are depending upon a salvation that flesh and blood revealed to you, you better keep looking. You better look until you have one that God let you know is real, because the Apostle Paul in Romans 8:16 said the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I preach to everybody and I caution everybody to seek the Lord until the Lord bears witness with your soul that you have been saved, because one day you're going to have to stand before Him and you're going to have to answer to Him. And you may have had a preacher or somebody else, somebody that said they were a preacher. You may have had some man along the way tell you that everything was all right with your soul, but in the day of God's righteous judgment, you're not going to answer to that person. You're going to have to stand before God and you're going to have to give an account unto God. And so you better not accept anything from anybody but Him. You better have it revealed unto you by the God of heaven that you have been saved by His grace. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And Jesus establishing there that those that truly know Him, those that really had salvation, they would know Him through the revelation of the Spirit and the power of God. And all of those that knew Jesus in that way, He would know them as well. Simon Peter knew Him that way because God had revealed it to him, and Jesus knew who Peter was, and Jesus took that relationship and He said, it is upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I'll tell you what, there's never been anybody that's ever become a part of the Lord's church without experiencing the new birth. Now, we as people, we're not perfect. We may receive somebody into the membership of the church, and we know that we have at times. We've taken a vote, and we've received people in, and we've had them admit later that they never were really saved when they joined the church. But you know, it's the Lord that adds to the church, and the Lord never adds anybody that's not been regenerated, that's not been saved by His grace. And it is upon that rock that He built His church. And you know, the church has understood that through the years. John the Baptist understood it when he came, didn't he? When he came there on the banks of the Jordan preaching the gospel, he well understood that because when there were many of the Pharisees and Sadducees that came to his baptism, he realized, I believe, why they were there. And so he addressed them and he said, you generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits, meat, for repentance. John the Baptist would not baptize them unless they were able to produce something there that convinced him that they were saved by God's grace. Bring forth evidence that you have been saved. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ through the years has practiced that. Remember what I said a moment ago, that it is the foundation, it is the basis of all Christian fellowship. Without it, there is no fellowship that can exist. I'm going to try to tell you what I mean by that. There are many things that we believe. There are doctrinal things that we believe here as a church, as Fairview Memorial. We have a declaration or a creed or whatever that you want to call it that we have embraced. It is known as the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. But you know, you could tell me today, or anyone could tell me today, that yes, I believe that the Bible teaches us that men should repent. Yes, I believe that the Bible teaches us that the church is a local, visible body of baptized believers. Yes, I believe that the Bible teaches us about believers' baptism and that it's only believers' baptism that is really scriptural. Yes, I believe that the Bible does teach and support the doctrine of eternal security. But you know, in all of those things, if you don't believe in people truly being saved, then we have no fellowship. It's the very foundation of our fellowship. There are a lot of doctrines that we hold dear and we consider to be very important, but I believe the common salvation takes precedence. People truly being saved is perhaps the most important thing of all that you and I believe. We live today in a world, we live in a society today. This is something that has always been, that has always plagued people to a certain extent. There were those in the days of Jesus that had the wrong idea. They had the wrong idea about what it meant to be justified before God. Two of the main groups we read about in the Bible were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they just had the wrong view of things. They had the wrong idea of things. They knew nothing of true justification. They knew nothing of true salvation, of true repentance. They lived their lives as well as they could according to the letter of the law. They tried to do what the law told them to do. They tried not to do what the law told them not to do. They tried to justify themselves by their own actions and by the things that they would do. And Jesus rebuked them greatly for that belief. In fact, if you look in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, you will find a conversation recorded there that Jesus had with the Pharisees. And he told them there that all that you are accomplishing by what you believe and what you practice, that all that you are accomplishing is that you are making the outside look good. And friends, that's all that it can accomplish. If you try to justify yourself by the things that you do, all you will ever accomplish is making the outside, making the outward appearance look good. And you can do that before men. And that's what Jesus said. He said, ye indeed appear beautiful outwardly. Before men you appear righteous. But you see, God knows the inside. God knows what's happening in the heart. And it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. Salvation is an inward change. It changes the inward part of man. Brother Wheat spoke about this morning what Ezekiel spoke about the heart, and what Jeremiah spoke concerning the heart. The heart, Jeremiah said, is deceitful above all things, and it's desperately wicked, and who can know it? Our problem is that we have heart trouble. We have a sinful heart, and it must be changed, and only God can change it. We cannot change it ourselves. We need that operation of God on our hearts. We need the power of God to bring us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Jonah, perhaps, in these simple words, put it better than anybody could have ever put it. He simply said, salvation is of the Lord. And it is. Salvation is of the Lord. It is God's work, and it is not the work of man. And so God can take out that stony heart, that sinful heart. That's what Ezekiel, I believe it was, said, that God can take out the stony heart and He can replace it with a heart of flesh. God can change the heart. Jesus Christ is the great physician, and His particular field is cardiology. He's a great spiritual cardiologist. He changes people's hearts. He can take out your sinful heart, and He can give you a new heart. And when that happens, then you understand, then and only then do you understand the common salvation. You can't understand it until you know it. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you know, that doesn't only mean that unless a person is born again that he's not going to be able to go to heaven. Except a man be born again, there's spiritual things that cannot be perceived. There's things that you cannot see until you are born again by the Spirit of God, because when that takes place, it opens your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to things and allows you to see. And until that happens, you can't really see the kingdom of God. I couldn't see the beauty of the Lord's church until He saved my soul. I couldn't see it until then. So I thank God for the common salvation. I have a bond. With my brothers and sisters in the Lord. There's a tie there. There's a blessed tie that binds us together, that's stronger even than natural family. I grew up in a family. There were six of us children. My mother and my father, and I had two brothers and three sisters, and a lot of cousins, aunts and uncles, big family. Had a great love for them. But there's a love that even supersedes that natural love, that our hearts are bound together by the common salvation. They came to Jesus one time, and they said, your mother and your brethren stand without. And Jesus told them, He said, they that do the will of my Father, these are my mother and my brethren. Jesus expressed that relationship between Him and His children. And we have a relationship with God through that common salvation. We're going to heaven. Those of us who are saved are going to heaven. God has prepared us a city. God has prepared a place for us. And He is going to come, and He's going to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, we may be also. And when we get to heaven, We're going to all be there because of one thing. We're going to have one thing in common. We're going to be there because of one reason, and that is because we experience this common salvation. There won't be anybody in heaven that got it one way and somebody else that got there another way and somebody else that got there a third way. We will all be in common in that we are there by the grace of God. Because we came to know Him in a pardon and a forgiveness of sin. We have it in common here. We'll have it in common in heaven. And it's the only way that God made. You know, God only made one plan of salvation? Only one. He only made one way. I have something in common with people that I never have been privileged to even know. I was thinking about Brother Alonde this morning, to be honest with you. When I was studying the rest of this lesson, I was thinking about Brother Tom Alonde. He was here last Sunday night, and he preached for us, and he lives miles and miles and miles away from here, lives in Kenya, and lives a much different lifestyle than what you and I live. And there would be a lot of things, I'm sure, concerning our lives that we would have a hard time relating one with another. But I'll tell you what, we've got something in common, and that is salvation. If Abraham or Moses or somebody were here, the lifestyle that they lived was far different than what you and I have lived. But I have something in common with those people of old, and that is the Lord's grace and the Lord's salvation. And listen, Jesus Christ and His salvation has been the common link that has linked together every generation of people that have ever lived on the face of the earth. If I have nothing else at all in common with them, I have this, that we shared the common salvation. We shared the same thing in the Lord. And it's my desire today that all would have it. It's God's desire that all would have it. He would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And you know, I want to thank God today. It's already been mentioned about the price that's paid for freedom, the price that's been paid for independence. And I want to express my gratitude today to people. They're not here to hear me. They're not here to hear me give thanks, but I want to say it just the same. Long ago, when Jude wrote what he wrote, when he said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write and exhort that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints." And I'm thankful that when he wrote that, I'm thankful for everybody from that time forward that did exactly what he said, that contended for it. I'll tell you what, this common salvation, this real salvation, we have got to uphold it. We have got to continue to teach it. We have got to contend for it, that should God allow time to go on, that the generations to come will know. You know, someday, we don't know how long God will tarry His coming, but someday, you know, your great-great-great-great-grandchildren may be living here on the earth. And I know this, if mine are, I want them to know the salvation that I have known. It's good for all ages. And I thank God today for the common salvation. And I hope that something has been said in this that's been a help to somebody here today in some way. I'd like to ask Brother Ronnie, wherever he's at, okay, if he would have a song ready. I'd like to open the doors of the church. We have believed this. The Lord's church has obviously believed what has been said, that through the ages of time, the new birth has been the basis of Christian fellowship, because this practice has been maintained for many, many years, that those that wish to unite with the Lord's church must be able to relate a personal experience of salvation. I'm thankful that the church required that of me. And we receive members by that, by experience and baptism, being able to tell of when you were saved, and then being baptized into the fellowship of the church. We receive members by letters from sister churches. And we receive members at times by restoration or by statement. But in all of these, you must know and be able to relate an experience of having been saved by God's grace. And so while we stand and sing and open the doors of the church, if the Spirit of God moves upon your heart today and would have you to be a member here, then we'll ask you to come forward and we'll hear your testimony. All right, let's come in and pray together, and then we'll have the song.
Number 47. 47. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard Thee calling, come follow me. And we see where Thy footprints falling lead us to Thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Though they lead o'er the dark mountains, seeking His sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains, helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
As most of you know, a while back, Brother Wiley was very ill, and he spent a lot of days in the hospital and didn't really know, honestly, if, I mean, he was pretty sick, didn't really know how things were going to turn out. And during that time, while visiting him in the hospital, he told me that he knew the Lord wanted him to become a member of the church here. And God brought him through. And him and Sister Wiley have come before us today to present themselves for membership. So we're going to ask them to tell their experience of salvation. And Sister Wiley, I was always taught ladies first. And so we're going to have you, if you would, tell your experience of salvation here before the church today.
God saved my soul when I was a little 11-year-old girl. Macy's Hill. I was very small, but it's as clear to me today as it was that night. Brother Cal Grigren, Brother F.W. Lumber, was heaping in the revival. A hot July night. We didn't even have screens on our windows. The bug came in, but God came in. It's on my soul. I won't ever forget it.
Amen.
I believe it. We can't ever go back. I feel like God wants us. This is where we come.
Amen. And Sister Wiley, you are a member of Macy's Hill.
I am.
Okay. All right. All right, members of the church, you've heard Sister Wiley's testimony. What's the will of the body? All right, we have a motion and second to receive her, that she'll be granted all rights and privileges when her letter is received and approved. Anyone want to speak to the motion? If not, all in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed, by the same voting sign. There's no opposition. Brother Wiley, would you please tell your experience of salvation?
Back in 1950-something, I can't tell you what day or what night, but I was saved up in faith. And it stayed with me all this time. And of course, hadn't been for God, I wouldn't be here today. I was in the hospital for 55 days, and at times I didn't think I was going to make it. But with the prayers, I made it. I'm here today, and I'd like to become a member of this church.
Amen. And you also are a member at Macy's Hill.
Yeah.
All right, church, you've heard Brother Wiley's testimony. What's the will of the body? All right, we have a motion and second then to receive Brother Wiley, and he too will be granted all rights and privileges upon reception of his letter. Anyone want to speak to the motion? If not, all in favor of this motion, please raise your hand. Any opposed? By the same sign. All right, motion carries. Let's have another song. Let's come around, shake hands with Brother and Sister Wiley.